A local man and a refugee from the Congo have started a fashion line in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Their friendship is one of the many signs of how welcome newcomers are in what's being dubbed the refugee capital of the United States. But as federal policy changes, few refugees are arriving, even though Lancaster's doors are open. WHYY's Kyrie Greenberg reports.
Brian Norris is a fashion designer who moved back to Lancaster to take care of his parents a few years ago. After meeting Amish and Mennonite craftsmen, he started a small line of handmade clothing called Forager Company, and they found a market online.
I am a lucky person in that I am connected on Instagram. I have friends in New York. My background is men's fashion, so I have some connections which can at least give me the faith because they're showing up and saying, I love what you're doing. I want to buy a jacket.
Around the same time, Remy Kasongo moved to Lancaster with his wife Angela and five of their children. They lived in a refugee camp in Zambia called Maheba for 14 years after fleeing civil war in northern Congo. Remy would leave Angela and the kids in Maheba for a month at a time to work in a neighboring town.
In the camp, you would just like sneak, but get a letter that would help you to get out of the camp. And he would go to start looking for jobs. And then he met one Indian guy, and that guy gave him the job to do overalls.
The Refugee Makers Project began when Norris gave a talk to a local sewing group. Kasongo agreed to sew a line of tote bags for the Brooklyn Museum in Norris's living room. They sold quickly, but the money wasn't enough to live on. At the time, Kasongo was working at a chicken processing plant, which was hard on his health. Norris remembers the toll it took on him.
I can't see my friend working like that, you know, when we can do this if we work hard. So it was my call to action.
After raising over $20,000 online, the workshop moved to the Keystone Art and Culture Center. The duo sells upcycled military jackets and thrifted clothing that Norris dyes indigo and Kasongo embellishes with African wax print cutouts. Norris says he wants to keep the project small and focus on Kasongo's salary. And Norris says at 60, he's found a new purpose.
When it was just me, being dysfunctional, erratic, and spontaneous was okay. Now that it extends to a refugee and his family, I need to step up to the table, which is really great. It motivates me. My thing is I want to be a good little company, not a big company.
The custom pieces are a little expensive for Lancaster and sell mostly online. But Norris tapped his contacts in fashion to get their work into high-end pop-up markets.
I think you're the boss. You three. Okay. I want the fit models comments because they got to move.
Norris gives Kasongo rides to work and English classes three times a week. The workshop is homey. Kasongo's 9-year-old son, Juma, comes by for a snack and to play the piano. Kasongo says he feels lucky to return to his original trade.
He said that I can say this is God's direction for me to do this work because a lot of people had said whatever you do in Africa, when you go to America, you will not do the same. And then he found this American guy who is very good, who is helping him.
Lancaster got the nickname Refugee Capital of America last year because it had accepted more than 1,300 people in 4 years, 20 times more people per capita than the rest of the U.S., Stephanie Gromick says she saw a change in mid-2015, the time both Kasongo and Norris moved to Lancaster. She's with Church World Service, one of 19 Pennsylvania nonprofits that resettles refugees.
The support for refugees was always there, but definitely in the past 3-4 years, the community support has just skyrocketed.
That year, the majority of refugees resettling in Pennsylvania were from Bhutan or the Democratic Republic of Congo. But she attributes it to growing media attention around the Syrian refugee crisis. Her agency has 11 programs that provide 5 years of services for refugees who might have been judges, teachers, or farmers back home. The program helps, but she says nothing compares to making a friend.
Brian's a fashion guy, and Remy is this fashion guy, and now they're creating this entire fashion line, and I feel like that's just a really great analogy for what we've been working on in the community to build.
Yet changes to federal policy have cut the number of new arrivals. Last year, Church World Service had about 90 refugees that were scheduled but never arrived. Gromick attributes the cancellations to 2017's 4 executive orders, which include the travel bans and a 3-month suspension of the resettlement program. The delays also meant the security and medical clearances they had obtained expired, which effectively restarts the years-long refugee application process. Halfway through the fiscal year on March 31st, the Office of Resettlement reported accepting 10,000 refugees to the U.S. That's less than one quarter of the 45,000-person quota set by President Trump. The Kasangos have two adult children who are still in Mahaba with their families. The camp has been around since the 70s, but they feel there's little hope in the refugee system right now. So the family asked Norris if he could sponsor them.
And there's really nothing that I can do to sponsor a family. And to have to say, I can't help, I mean, that's a tough one.
Gromix's Church World Service and other resettlement agencies can relate.
We are here to provide hope to these individuals who are facing unimaginable situations. And we can't do that right now because of a bunch of red tape and nonsense that's happening in D.C. You know, it's very frustrating.
For WHYY News, Kyrie Greenberg.